Game Boys.
Hey there, internet. Welcome to another episode of the Go Game Boys podcast. My name is Lux. I'm your host. With me, as always, is the man who will not stop talking to me about Kingdom Hearts 3. It's Griffin Davis.
Yes. Oh, man. Wow, guys. Fans of me will know that I have not liked the trailers for Kingdom Hearts, but oh my God, comeback of the century with these new trailers, guys. We had a new one last week that was incredible, and now there's one that dropped 5 hours ago. It's a little spoilery, but it's just incredible. I'm just so hype. I don't think I've anticipated a game so much ever.
I'm not sure anyone has anticipated the game so much ever. I got a text from you about the new trailer while we were talking about the show, and also realized I had a Facebook notification from you about the new trailer, and I also had a Facebook notification from you about the trailer before that.
Here is the problem, though. The internet isn't safe, Lux, because there are major Kingdom Hearts 3 spoilers on the web. That's right. Kingdom Hearts 3 has been leaked. It's been leaked a month early.
Who has access to a leaked copy of this game?
I don't know, but the director sent out a message saying, we know who did it, and there's nothing we can do about it now, and just please stay off the internet.
Just don't go online. Just log off until it comes out.
And I said yes, so I'm offline, I'm off the grid for the next month and a half.
Do you think solidarity. The person who leaked it has been captured?
Hopefully they've been captured, and hopefully they've been sent to the dark realm or whatever. I don't know. the one takeaway I'd like to make about this new trailer, Lux, is that it looks good. It doesn't look like a PlayStation 3 game, which was my ultimate fear. As we know, this development has been about like 10 years on this game, and so I was worried that it was going to look like an old game because of that. But oh boy, these graphics, these art styles, it's looking really good. Even the dumb levels, like the Pirates of the Caribbean level, look really good.
Well, that was actually that level was the part I found most impressive about the trailer, just because of like how successfully it changed textures and still looked good. Mm-hmm. I thought that was like pretty, whoa, good job. Yeah. Square mm-hmm. Enix. So yeah, no, the trailer looks pretty good. I'm excited about it.
That's me and my anticipation. Lux, what have you been playing this week?
Oh, well, let me tell you, Riff. I've been playing a little game called Basketball GM on the internet.
Basketball GM. So you don't play basketball, you just like sit in an office?
Well, yeah, it's a text-based game where you just manage the team, and it's very relaxing.
That sounds actually more my speed. I'm always into these more like behind the scenes of the stadiums,
Yeah, exactly. And I got to balance, what I'm spending on coaching and what I'm charging for tickets and who I'm drafting and who I'm trading for.
So how much you charging for ticks right now?
Well, right now, my team, the Philadelphia Cheesesteaks, because the game auto-generates the names, we're charging our average ticket price is $62 a game because we're a three-time defending champions.
Dang.
Yeah, very good team.
Really bleeding your fans.
Look, man, I got to find a way to afford this payroll, dog. I just got to make it happen.
So what kind of game in this and what are you playing it on?
It's just like literally a text-based simulator and it lives in a browser and I'm playing it on my laptop. Yeah, I'm easing off the hardcore stuff. I think soon I'm going to try to finish Trails of Cold Steel Volume 2. Fans who may not know, I got to the boss fight in that game about a year and a half ago and just could not beat it and haven't tried since. And I think it's time to get back in there.
Wow. That's really brave, because I find that, especially with hard games, like once I've taken a break, it's so intimidating to come back. Like, for instance, Hollow Knight is one of my favorite games of last year, or this year, I guess. I think it came out last year, but I played it this year. So hard, so difficult. I haven't 100%ed it, but I feel like if I came back now, there'd be such a learning curve to me, like remembering how to play it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm worried about that, but I just got to finish this fight because then I can fucking finally finish this game. And then I can like, I'm really annoyed that the new one hasn't come out yet. Cause it's been a long time, but I feel like that being annoyed is kind of bullshit. Cause I haven't even beaten the old one yet. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And so I want to be able to be annoyed and complain in like good faith.
Yeah. Absolutely. Speaking of good faith, I'd like to bring on our guest today, someone that I have so much faith in. He's filled me with faith and inspired me. He is a comedian, an improviser, just a hilarious dude. Dom Johnson, welcome to the podcast.
What up?
Thank you for having. Thank you for being here. Thank you for having us.
This is Dom Johnson presents the Game Boys Podcast 2.0, baby.
Yeah, no, we appreciate the new sponsor. The merger is going great. It's good to see you, Dom.
I can't wait to get my Casper mattress.
We're a Lisa family over here. No, right. Mattress wars.
Yeah, and all you purple idiots, just don't even get in the conversation. Yeah,
fuck off.
Yeah, get straight to garbage town.
So, Dom, I met you doing comedy out here in Los Angeles, but you are still an enigma to me. You kind of appeared out of the blue, and I wanted to get to know you in the only way I know how to get to know people, which is recorded on a podcast.
Hey, man. Yeah, I just I popped up. I've been around doing indie shows and took some classes at UCB. Like, I'm pretty sure every single person that's been a comedian's come on this.
Every single person that's podcast in a seat.
Yeah. Yeah. I took UCB. I did stuff there. And then, you know, Jillian Dunn, friend of the podcast, Jillian Dunn.
Sure.
She was trying to get me to come over to the pack forever. Mm-hmm. And I was like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah.
And then I started going to shows, and I saw a sketch show with 100% Stuff and Haymaker.
Sure.
And I was like, ah, shit. Maybe this pack place might be all right.
Yes, the sketch teams at the pack are really fantastic. 100% Stuff is no longer a team, but they were really incredible. And Haymaker, one of the oldest teams at the pack, is infamous at the pack.
And that's the team I'm on now.
Yeah, so it's kind of full circle. You saw them like a year and a half ago, and now you're on the team, man. That's kind of
a sports story.
What a sports story.
What a sports movie narrative.
Right. Now we're killing it.
Is that how sports work? You watch the team on TV and then you love it so much that you're on the team like a year later?
Yeah, if you're good. That's how you become a professional athlete.
That's how Bo Jackson did it.
But Dom, let's take it back even a little bit further. Where are you from?
I was in Indianapolis until I was 15. And then I was in Mesa, Arizona until I was like 30. And I moved out here.
When was the point where you're like, Arizona, not hot enough?
Well, there's kind of a comedy scene in Arizona.
Okay.
But there's only so much that you can do. And at first, I just wanted to do stand-up. And I still did improv because I liked it. But I was like, I want to be a stand-up. That's what I'm going to do. And kind of in Phoenix, you can probably make a living opening for good people.
Well put. Opening for good people. That's basically the Austin comedy scene too.
Yeah. Like, I don't want to just open for good people.
Yeah, it'd be cool to be good people.
See, that's how you gotta give it a go.
Yeah, for real.
But who knows? Maybe those motherfuckers that open for good people make all right money.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure.
I wouldn't know because I don't want to know those motherfuckers.
Look, I'm not trying to do 10 minutes stuck at the Chuckle Hut every Thursday through Monday. That's not the life I want. No, I feel that for sure.
Waiting for Doug Stanhope to show up and put you on.
So there was a moment though where did you have the moment where you're like, ugh, I have to go to LA? Because I remember my moment was just like a series of like personal disasters, and I just looked up at the sky one day and was just like, well, I guess I got to go now.
Well, like, I've always wanted to do comedy. When I was apparently my mom told me when I was like 5. And they were like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And my answer was, I wanted to either be a cartoon or a comedian. And I was like, oh, what a cute story. But I was like always writing, even in like college and shit. And then started doing like, somehow open mics just started like popping up.
Sure.
In Phoenix. Mm-hmm. Out of nowhere. So I started hitting those up, started doing some like short form improv. But then it like got to a point, I was like, oh, I want to go to LA. Give it a shot.
Yeah. Too bad that you didn't stick with the cartoon dream. It'd be really funny if like parents were like, you're live action. You'll never be a cartoon.
It's not over yet.
I ever told the story about what happened when they asked me in preschool what I wanted to be when I grew up?
No.
Oh, because they did. And my answer was no hesitation. Just like, art thief.
That's a way better answer than mine.
Now, had you been inspired by an art thief?
I bet I'd like watched a movie with my dad the night before or something, because I was like, 4 years old or whatever. But like, I just remember my parents told that story a bunch of times. I just was like, art thief. My preschool teacher was like, I'm sorry, what?
My father was an art thief. His father was an art thief. His father's father was an art thief.
We've been doing it for years. It's what we do. But Dom, so that's how you got into comedy. But let's talk about video games. What, like, when did you start? How big are you? First of all, how big into video games are you? Are they a big part of your life right now, or just like a side thing?
Right now,
we have varying levels of people who have played games. You
right
know?
Now, not at all. I think it just tapered off as I got older. So when I was like little, oh man, I was playing everything.
Sure,
like Nintendo and Super Nintendo, and then it kind of just became fighting games and sports games, but like any sports game and any fighting game.
Things that you can pick up and play, but not something that you're spending like 40 hours on or something like that.
And then it became just Madden, and then it became nothing.
What a healthy, healthy experience. Like that's a good way to do it.
Yeah.
Well, like the reason I stopped playing Madden is because like I stopped being able to get all my friends in one room to play, and like playing some fucking kid online.
The worst.
Isn't fun. Like, if I can't talk shit to your face and, like, be like, oh, this is my friend, not just some nerd.
Now, playing online, I never played an online sports game. It's like, I feel like, is it just really hard to win, like, online? Or can you like, beat people up online?
Because essentially, like, playing with, like, actual people who don't, like, just play Madden all day. It's like, oh, we all have, like, a basic skill level. But then you get people who just, like, understand the mechanics, don't even like football. But they like get the timing and they have it. And I was like, this isn't even like fun. Like, how is this fun for you?
Right.
Like, there's no, you don't, because I've talked to a guy like that. He, I mean, he went on tour, so he's probably making money playing Madden. But I'm like, is that fun? He's like, no, it's just a, like, there's no difference between that game and any other game. Well, it's just, sure.
Yeah, like Madden has, they're like top level mechanics in Madden that you can like master that make you super good at it. Like one thing you can do is like switch players, and you like, if you throw the ball to a guy, you can switch to, you control the guy you're throwing it to, and then like control him to catch it, which like ups their catch rate a bunch or whatever. And so like, if you're super good at all these high tech techniques, then like, yeah, you're just playing this weird like game of like catch with yourself and scoring infinite touchdowns. So it's not like a fun basically. Thing to do.
And then also it's like, yeah, just like, yeah, like playing against the computer is like rarely fun in any game. So it's just like, it's the reason I'm not getting Super Smash right now. Is just like, everyone is trying to convince me to buy this new Smash game, but I just guarantee that it's not that fun to play by yourself. And I rarely have two or three other people over. Like, yeah, to play stuff.
I haven't played that game a lot, but the times that I have played it, it's been like 10 or 15 people. Just like, that's what we're doing right now. It's like, we just came over to have some beers and play Super Smash Brothers, but I don't want to play you online. I don't need your Switch code or whatever.
And especially, the notorious Switch codes.
Yeah, man, oh man, I don't care. I like to play people in Smash Online because I'll kill anyone anytime. I just fucking love to kill. But the Switch code is insanely frustrating.
But Lux, I heard the lag is bad.
Yeah, I haven't even gotten past dealing with just like the weird interface of the Switch code. I just keep giving up and then like playing Patrick.
But like, I hear the latency and like the lag just like makes it like unplayable.
I haven't even gotten that far, but I believe it.
Okay.
Hey, everybody. Let's all just make some friends.
Yeah, for real.
That's the lesson we need to learn.
Yeah, friendship. That's what video games are about.
Yeah, so true. So absolutely true. Especially this game, which I think that's about as good a segue as any to what we're going to talk about today. But Griffin, I think you got some stuff you want to say.
Well, you know, it's really great that you brought on something that is close to your heart and your lifestyle of video games. So I think before we talk about this game, we should hear a little bit of history about this game. Madden NFL is an American football video game series named after Pro Football Hall of Famer John Madden. The series has released a new game annually since 1988, and by current 2018 metrics, the franchise has sold over 130 million copies worldwide. But the journey has not always been easy. Our story takes us to the year 2005, when Microsoft was secretly courting game studios to work on launch titles for their yet-to-be-revealed Xbox 360. Microsoft wanted wanted Madden 06 to be a next-gen launch title for the 360, but the team at EA had been developing the game for the PS2 and GameCube engine. To switch everything to next-gen mid-development cycle would be an incredible challenge, and on top of that, Microsoft wanted them to release a trailer showcasing the game that very same year at E3. EA accepted this challenge, but foolishly hired an outside studio to craft a next-gen trailer to the game while they worked on the actual nuts and bolts. The Madden 06 trailer released at E3 is known as one of the biggest hoaxes in video game history. The trailer showcased graphics and gameplay that were so next-gen that they were unachievable for any real game studio in 2005. It featured gameplay elements like close-ups of players breathing and X-ray vision bone-breaking that didn't enhance the game but distracted from what people loved about the series. Yet the world had seen it, and expectations were now set for EA that they would never able to meet. The game released as a launch title in late 2005 to mixed reception, with some fans appreciating the big swings and others claiming it doomed the series for the next half decade. But the final say on the game has never officially been set in stone until today. This week, Dom Johnson brings the boys Madden 06.
I'm hyped. I'm hyped now.
I famously hate sports games, but this is such a story.
Like, here's the beauty of Madden, especially for somebody who's been playing it. I've probably been playing Madden until I stopped every year from like 92 to fucking, I don't know, 2010, 2011. I played it every single year.
Every year.
So like, you just have those buttons this in your memory.
Sure. And so anything that changes that, it's like breaking up the home.
So, but they make slight modifications. Mm-hmm. Like, all right, so I can get used to that. Like with the hit stick, mm-hmm. that's something that you can add.
Sure.
Easily.
I thought they liked how you tackle in the game.
Yeah.
Right?
So you can like, instead of just like running up to him,
I'm going to be asking the lame questions.
Yeah. And then you get like, then you started being able to like do like more like cool juke moves and like big spins or tight spins, or you can, you know, lob the ball, you can throw a tight spiral. Like, those were like welcome additions.
Because they kept the foundation the same. Like, there's accoutrements and like new decorations and like accents, but like for the majority of the series, they've kept a core foundation, right? At least I would say for each console generation, right?
Yeah.
Like, big leaps between consoles probably in like graphics and just like the way it looked. But like, this game was always about making it seem like you were kind of like watching a game of football, right?
For
just
sure.
From like the perspective, like almost like you were watching like a TV.
Yeah.
Right. Like, so Griff, to give you a sense of scale for like the level of tweaks what they're talking about is like, Dom mentioned this, but like it used to be like, oh, if you want to throw to a guy, you press like the button over his head. And then it became, if you want to throw the ball to a guy really hard, you hold the button down. And if you want to throw it to him so it stays in the air longer, you press the button for less time. And it was like that small of a change. Like, it was tweaks on that scale. Like,
right.
Like that minor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like started being able like to throw a head of them, or
some would describe as lazy,
or faithful, depending on your interpretation.
Well, because I think what really keeps people coming back to these games, right, is just the new rosters, right, as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, to me, that's like the great thing about it. Because before you could update the rosters, now to me, one of the best things about Madden is the automatic roster generator.
What does that mean?
If Tom Brady is hurt in real life, he's hurt in the game. Or if somebody...
Oh, Jesus. Okay. So, yeah, it's like, so it's like online features that like update the players.
If you want to play that way.
Okay, you can turn that off.
You can turn that off, but...
Is there a way to make him injured forever?
Is that a feature? In our hearts. In our hearts and minds. But I feel like he'll play for another 7 or 10 years until he's 100 years old.
Yeah, who is the oldest football player ever? Is there like a record?
I think it's Adam Vinatieri, the kicker on the Patriots right now. He's like 45.
Okay, so you can kick the ball for until you...
It's for sure a kicker.
Yeah, it's a kicker.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Derek Anderson might be.
Yeah.
Like, I think Adam Vinatieri might be right now. I think Derek Anderson played like legit till he was like 50.
That's so crazy. But people are so weird. And
it's
kickers
a good
get
gig
so
if you
old.
Can get it.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's a good job if you can hold on to it. But okay, so 06 was particularly unique for a couple of reasons, right? Like, if it brought in my major fond memory of 06 is that it started the My Superstar mode, right?
Yeah, that was fun.
That was cool. And you could import your character from NFL Street.
Now, can we explain what My Superstar mode is?
Okay, so I'll explain the part that isn't super weird first. So you play as like a player on the team. So the way there used to be a franchise mode where you play as like the general manager and make trades and stuff. This new mode, you played as like one guy on the team, like the quarterback or the running back or the wide receiver or whatever.
Sure.
And you'd like sort of like RPG-ish go through it. And every play you just control your guy and like try to do your best job. The weird thing was the way you created characters was you'd pick two parents, like you would randomly auto-generate two parents.
And you'd like wait so it's until like the, you, it's like Fallout 4.
Yeah, kind of. And you'd have to wait until it had like a good, it would be like father, an Olympic sprinter with a PhD from Harvard. And then like mother, like a WNBA basketball player who loves shooting guns. I don't know. And then it would be like combine them and you get like a tier one quarterback with great speed.
With guns for hands.
Or be that, you or you could import your characters from NFL Street 2. And so I had my own the city NFL Street character Beef Smith, played like 15 seasons in the NFL, won a bunch of MVPs, and that was cool. And that was my favorite thing about 06. But it also had a bunch of other weirder problems.
Yeah, so normally we start with the story of games, but because this game doesn't really have like a narrative, we should just kind of like break down each of these like gameplay features. And I think the first one we should probably talk about is the cone vision.
Oh my fuck. This
the passing field of cone vision, which if I was correct, is the first time that's ever been in a Madden game.
Yeah. It was the problem with the cone was one, if you're playing defense, you can see who they're throwing to. But two, like Peyton Manning's cone was the whole field.
Like, I legit, love that. That's so funny.
Legit the whole field. But the way we would play, the way me and my friends would play, just to keep everything like more or less fair, so you didn't get one dude who's like, I want to play as the last person that won the Super Bowl. Yeah. Like, you just play as the team that you like in real life. So I would pick the Bucks, and I was like, all right, well, they generally had a pretty good defense and some offensive weapons. But I, goddamn, Jeff Garcia and his cone was less than the size of the little characters and shit. So I'm like, I can't throw the ball. This is impossible, and it's not fun, and I hate it because my brother was a Colts fan. So of course he's like, no, leave the cone on. This is great. And he's just fucking.
Yeah, because it's like you're telegraphing what you're gonna do when yeah. you're playing against someone. It's like the same way that when I used to play like those old 007 games with split screen with someone. It's like you're supposed to not look at the other side of the screen, but you're looking at the other side of the screen the whole time.
I mean, it's people the same thing for men. Screen looking was this major sin. It yeah. was like, no, it's an inevitability, dude.
It's like if we're looking at the same screen. It's literally impossible for me to not
see
it.
Hey, I'm gonna go honor system in Madden. Says that you don't look at the other player's screen when they're picking plays.
Sure, but then what do you just close your eyes for the cone vision?
You just look at your shit. Look yeah. at your shit. Yeah. Be aware of down and distance. Mm-hmm. Be aware of your opponent's tendencies. Mm-hmm. And don't be like looking at his don't be looking at his plays.
Yeah. Just get that scouting report. Be looking at the scouting report.
Yeah, like no. Who throws bombs every fourth down instead of punting?
If only there was some sort of TV invention that was like Battleship, where there was like two TVs like smashed together, and like you could be on each side. Like I don't, I'm like, why didn't they ever build that?
Because it sounds complicated and unnecessary. I think
I would have been into it. Like, hey, can you bring your TV
no
over?
No one wants that. It only serves one very specific purpose.
I think it might have sold like hotcakes for. Like 6 months in like the 90s.
Once all the rich people had them.
Yeah. Once rich people had them all, they would have just sold out.
So yeah. So this cone thing, I also feel like part of, because these games are always like, there's an additional decoration or additional feature they add. It took like a while to get rid of that feature, right? Like
yeah,
that feature was kept on for a few more games.
Like they kept it in, but you eventually were able to like turn it off. Right. It wasn't the default.
Yeah.
Quarterback mode, like mm-hmm. you could play with it, but I, even though my brother like was a like a Colts fan, legit, I don't think he liked it. I don't think anybody liked the vision cone. Like that was a dude at EA Sports who was just like, I need to justify my fucking position.
It seems like I would make that gameplay feature, like someone who doesn't understand football.
Well, I feel like it was a dumb response to NFL 2K5 or whatever, the like ESPN sponsored game. having first person mode.
Yeah.
Because first person mode was fucking fire. Some people didn't like it, but I'll tell you, they're wrong and it's great. And I feel like division mode was like something responsive to that. That was like, get more in like the space of the quarterback. And now you have to make more decisions.
Right.
So it's more real. And it's like, maybe, but you did it in the worst possible way. And it also ended up being kind of racist.
How so?
That was like a big internet thing when it happened, was that like, because it correlates directly to awareness, and like the dudes at EA like notoriously give black and non-white quarterbacks lower awareness.
Jesus.
They all had like this built-in disadvantage where like their cone was super tiny.
That's like a real thing or like a conspiracy theory?
I mean, it's like...
Like those are actual stats in the game that you can look at?
I mean,
when
you put Stevie Wonder on the field.
Yeah, no, they would just... Awareness was a stat that would change that. And so like Donovan McNabb, for instance, was like a notoriously accurate quarterback with a tiny cone, because they were like, he's not that aware. And people were like, well, maybe they just don't like Donovan McNabb. Or like, maybe it's because they're racist. Who knows? But people were like, this is a little weird, huh?
Every black quarterback has a 99 speed.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. 55 accuracy. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Yeah, no, Madden has that problem. It's also, they had that problem in NBA Live for a while. Like, all the big white dudes could shoot threes okay. And it was like, a lot of these big white dudes cannot shoot.
So
I've never met a big white dude that couldn't shoot a three. Like, I feel like if I just threw a basketball at a big white dude, he would just be able to.
There wouldn't even be a hoop. He would just still shoot his three.
Oh, it'd be like, oh, yeah, you don't play Smash because Incineroar summons the wrestling ring, but never mind.
Mm, yeah. Mm-hmm. Tough. Oh, maybe I should spend $65 to understand that reference.
Me too.
You probably should. But you were trying to get people to spend $400 on a TV with a wall in the middle of it.
Hey, I didn't price it yet, but that sounds good.
$400 might not
fair.
Be a bet.
I was
sounds
just
fair.
Doing a quick add up. $175 for each TV and $50 for the wall.
Fair enough.
That's pretty good for a wall. That sounds really dicey, and I didn't do enough research to have an opinion on that. I think I'll agree that's a bad feature.
Well, just like the reason why it wasn't fun is, at least for me, what makes Madden fun is like, they're coming to get you. You got the ball. You got to throw it to a guy. You got like 4 seconds to make this choice and calculate the best possible move. And then that's already 4 seconds that are extremely busy with thinking and calculating. And then the game's like, and also make sure you're looking at the right guy.
Yeah.
Is like such an unnecessary and bullshit addition that makes an already like, it was like the perfect balance of like stressful and fun decision making. Hmm. And then they added one more variable that made it way overcooked and like confusing and difficult and not fun anymore. Hmm.
So then moving on, what's the next feature we should tackle here, guys? Get it? Tackle.
Oh, very good, Griffin. You heard of sports.
I'm fucking out of here. So,
heard of him. Dom is right. Leaving. Well, and he's going to have to climb over the fence like he's done before because my gate does not have a handle.
Yeah, it's a problem.
Real neat.
I have the soundtrack in front of me, the notoriously awful soundtrack to Madden 06.
Right, because I think all sports games always have the current kind of zeitgeist music, right? Like, yeah. They're supposed to be hip, right?
I don't think any of them. I've never listened to a Madden soundtrack and been like, this is fucking dope.
Oh, is it more NBA that has the good, or do sports game, do sports games have
to me
songs?
Personally, I never gave a shit about the music. And if it feels up to me, I just turned it off. Like, I don't need to hear Avenged Sevenfold. Or while like, the yeah, fucking or like screen loads or whatever.
Yeah, it's like I am already playing Avenged Sevenfold like on my boombox.
Constantly. What? Griffin made me turn it down. But yeah, I was like, can we just play Avenged Sevenfold in the background?
Honestly, that may have improved the podcast.
Fuck up the mix. But yeah, no.
How do you feel about music in the games, Lux?
I think they're fine. I think Dom's basically right. None of them really slap. Occasionally, they have a couple of pretty good songs on them. But they're mostly just made like, they're like, what genre of music most appeals to the type of people who mostly buy this game?
Yeah.
And then it's like generic versions of that type of music, which is why the Madden soundtracks are always fun, because Madden has a lot of crossover appeal between like a lot of different types of people, like dads and rednecks and youths and like everyone basically who likes football, which is most of America. And
oh, so yeah, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, yeah, the music can't be good because they're playing to a weird fan base.
Well, the thing that they do that is fun is instead of sort of being like, what's the most inoffensive music we could choose? They just sort of like a little bit for you and a little bit for you and a little bit for you until it's an insane mix of songs. An insane mix of songs like this one that I wrote down because I'm a useless person. It's songs including The All-American Rejects, Night Drive, Avenged Sevenfold, nice. Bat Country, Bullet for My Valentine, Four Words to Choke Upon, Bump J, Move Around, Chameleonaire, Hate in Your Eyes, Disturbed, 10,000 Fists, Fallout Boy, Dance Dance, Finch,
Wow. Ink. What a weird...
Wow. So it's really like someone is just tuning the radio, like just changing stations.
If we skip forward a little bit, we've got a streak of Godsmack, Bring It On, Hot Hot Heat, Picking It Up, Memphis Bleak, Like That, Nine Black Elves, Cosmopolitan.
Hmm. Now, I remember when we had Joseph Pleasance on talking about Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2, that what the Tony Hawk games do good is like they really did find like the right genres that worked with skateboarding. And like we love like the soundtrack from like those early games. But it's just, it seems like they kind of just like paint the whole wall with songs in this game.
They're just pretty like, much. People are going to want some hip hop on here, right? Here's four randomly selected hip hop songs, and we're gonna need some like weightlift bro songs. So, like, here's four of those, and I guess some like pop punk because it's 2006. Here you go. Like, it was a real fuck mess, and it sucks ass.
But I think it was like 2 years after 06 came out where they added Tony Bruno. You could like just listen to him basically do a radio show. And I was like, this is fucking incredible. Like, I was into that. I was listening. I was into like,
you mean like they were like spectating? You're like,
no, it was like he's like a, I guess famous for a sports talk guy, but he's a sports talk guy. Mm-hmm. And he would just some of like after a while, he would obviously start talking about the same shit, but he had like a little radio show. And I was
it's kind of like the Grand Theft Auto games. Like where they have in their game radio, they have like talk shows and in radio shows that are like fun to listen to.
So I think that's more true to like the sports experience than Fall Out Boy and Chameleonaire.
A match made in heaven.
A match made in sports heaven.
Yeah, all those aggressive 13-year-old girls playing Madden.
So I know that in the research, they talked about this injury, this like bone breaking X-ray system. Did that make it into the game?
I don't think so. I don't think that was a feature in football games until the release of NFL Blitz the League. Hmm.
Yeah, because based on my research, maybe it was in the trailer, but that there was like moments where it would do like tight zooms and like you'd see like a bone break.
Yeah, that wasn't a thing. I think if anything that changed with like the injury mechanics is, I guess it was like less random than it had been previously, because it seems like before you do got hurt when he got hurt. Like there's no rhyme or reason to it. It's not because he got hit coming across the middle on a slant route or your quarterback got blindsided or something. It's just like, well, the AI in the game decided that this was the time for somebody to get hurt. Mm-hmm. But I think of this one, if you got rocked, then I think the probability got like went up that you got hurt. But there was no like fucking zooming in on ankles exploding.
Right. Yeah.
Like Mortal Kombat.
I mean, it's like, man. I'm going to post the trailer on our Instagram. Like the trailer is wild. Like to this day, it looks like a game that like they probably like it looks like the graphics today almost like that. But back in like 2005.
I still kind of remember that time, like seeing that trailer and being like, holy shit, I gotta play this game more than anything in the whole world.
Yeah,
right. And getting like the game and being like, the fuck shit. Is this code?
Yeah, it was really this like this. I think there was like from PlayStation 1 to PlayStation 2, there was definitely like an arguable like jump in like graphics and gameplay. But I think like when they were trying to jump from the PlayStation 2 to and the Xbox to like Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3, there was this culture of next gen. Like everything had to be just like superficially next gen. Like it wasn't about making a better game. It was about like being the most next gen in whatever what that meant to those companies. Like,
well, I remember being amazed the first time in a Madden game where you could like see their arms and legs actually move.
Yeah.
I was like, this is fucking incredible.
Yeah.
Like Madden 2000 or some shit where they just stopped being like little fucking blocks that moved
little
around.
Pegs that move around. Yeah, there's even a funny shot in the trailer that shows off the movement of limbs. Like a football player makes a touchdown and then does a victory dance but it's like, it looks absurd, but he does this like weird little like wavy like chicken dance. And it's like a very silly look, but I'm sure people back then were like, oh my God, look at the way his arms are wiggling.
That's sure they they were.
100% true.
So I also mentioned in the history that it felt like this game kind of poisoned the franchise. How long do you think it really took for the franchise to like make a true comeback?
I think until... maybe like 2 years ago.
All right.
I think so, yeah. Because that's when they, very recently is when they first started having the stats matter in like in real time. How you threw the ball actually mattered. So like Lux was saying earlier about how you could just tap the button to lob it or hold it down to throw it hard. Like then you also have to like make sure that you, are you leading the receiver? Are you throwing it behind him because it's like a they're on the sideline?
Sure.
Like, so there's so much more that you had to do that I think enhanced the gameplay without making it like super difficult, because it was shit that you were already like naturally doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's like little added nuances to like add more strategy to it. So it's not just like pressing Y to like throw the Hail Mary or whatever.
Basically. And like they took away like the cheapness of the game. Mm-hmm. Like there were some quarterbacks, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning. If you just throw a deep pass, the guy's probably going to catch it.
That was the only times I've played Madden. That was the only thing I did. Yeah, like, like that's all I know how to do.
Going for it on fourth down. Yeah. Now, if you go for it on fourth down when you normally wouldn't, the probability of you getting that goes down. That's just built into the game, which I think is great. Mm-hmm. Like if you don't have a quarterback or a team that can like go for it on fourth down and it doesn't make sense if it's the first quarter and it's like fourth and 30, don't fucking go for it just because you have a crazy quarterback.
Right.
The computer's not going to let you do that anymore. So,
Well, Sam, it sounds like it took a decade to really shake off the memories of this game. Is there any final features we should talk about before we go to a commercial break?
I'm good.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Then we'll see you after the break, guys. Hey, Dom, quit looking at my screen.
Bro, you knew that I was going to do a halfback dive, so you fucking stacked the box. This is bull.
I can't trust my friends. Is there anything that can solve this?
Look, you've got to stop fighting. I've got the answer for you. It's me, the inventor, Griffin Davis.
What?
And I've created an incredible thing today.
What is it, you genius man?
Well, it's two TVs, but I put a wall in between them, and so you can play your video games, and it's, you can be on one side of the wall and your friends on the other side. It's a foot of concrete in between you.
Whoa! How much does something like that cost?
$400. $175 for each TV and $50 for the wall.
I think that's not only a steal, but I think you should be president.
Well, you got, it's good news for you. I'm the president now.
Yay! Don't trust your friends.
Ever.
Yo, internet, what's up? Welcome back to the Game Boy. This podcast. My name is still Lux. Your co-host is still Griffin Davis. Your guest is still Dom Johnson. We are still talking about Madden 06. Now, as a part of the podcast, we rate that game, boys. Here's how it works. We go around in a little circle, giving ratings on a scale from 1 to 5 joysticks and some final thoughts about the game. Dom, you are the guest, so common courtesy dictates you go first, so take it away.
And again, start with your final thoughts and then give your rating.
It just sounds much better to say it the other way, though, in this sentence.
Yeah. Yeah, Madden holds a special place in my heart.
Sure.
And ultimately, even a disaster, terrible Madden game is better than any football game. Nay, any game, period.
Wow.
That could ever be made.
Sure.
So while the cone was an unmitigated disaster, I have to give it 3 joysticks.
Sure.
For being a Madden game.
Yeah. Yeah. It still technically has his name on the box.
Yeah.
It's right there. Griff, what about you?
I really liked learning about this game because it was a game that took big swings. And I really appreciate that from games. Actually, my biggest complaint about sports games is that they don't take enough big swings year to year. I understand that it's controversial, that it's like rewriting the Bible or something like that. And that people just like want a foundation that's just like niced up. I think that's personally lazy. And I respect that this game took some big swings, and ultimately a lot of this game's failures, I feel like, and the expectations set for it weren't the video game maker's fault, but Microsoft's fault and this random company that made this trailer. So this game to me is a 1 out of 5 joysticks, but I think it took big swings, and I think that a lot of it's not its fault. So I'm going to give it an extra joystick because, you know, history. So 2 out of 5.
Sure. Nice. History. Very good. So here's my personal connection with this game. It was the first Madden game that came out after they've got like the strict ownership of the NFL license. And the year before, ESPN had put out NFL 2K5, I believe. This game had the first person mode. It also had the cool halftime show that replayed plays from the game you were playing, or even a game you were simulating, and it would just populate the plays with like random play generators. And it was cool as hell. And I was like, man, video games have gotten so cool. And then they were like, this game doesn't exist anymore. Instead, you get the vision cone. And that really sucked, and it bummed me out. And I've actually never gotten a Madden game since then. I played NCAA football games,
Jesus,
but I haven't played a Madden game since 06.
Jesus,
or I haven't bought a Madden game since 06.
What a cone of shame.
Yeah, and well, because it was just like, man, this last game that the ESPN people put out was so cool and so innovative, and this one is so boring, and all the innovations are bad, and so I stopped. And I'll still play NFL Street. I love that game. But yeah, this one really killed my vibe on the Madden thing. And so for that, it gets 1 joystick out of 5 for me.
You know, I love that you brought this game on. Thank you for bringing this game to us. Yeah, you know, man. We like talking about interesting games, and we love when someone brings on something that isn't just like obviously good, you know? Yeah. So I appreciate that. And now, Lux, take it away.
Now that we've rated this game, it's time for everybody's favorite segment made entirely out of segments. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, friends beyond the binary. It's time for the segment of Wii's, the part where Griffin and I present segments, i.e. little games or stupid things we made up, to you, the guest. And then we play these stupid games and shit together. Griffin, do you have a segment this week?
Absolutely. Guys, welcome back to Two Truths and a High, Madden Edition. That's right. I'm going to say 3 facts. 2 of them are truths, and 1 of them is something I wrote when I was high. Fact number 1. Nintendo once met with EA to collaborate on a crossover Mario NFL game, but John Madden thought that the characters of Mario weren't tough enough to be football players. Fact number 2. Early copies of a Madden game drew ire from New Yorkers for accidentally switching the rosters of players between the New York Jets and New York Giants. Fact number 3. A certain Madden game featured a death ambulance that would pick up players on the field who were injured in the game. However, the ambulance would often run over the other players in the process. If you guys can both let me know when you're ready, and let me know if you need me to repeat any of those.
The ambulance is 100% true.
Yeah, that one's real for sure.
Everybody who plays Madden remembers the ambulance. I feel like the other two both are likely, but the more likely is that Madden actually would say that cartoon characters aren't tough enough. So I'm going to say that you came up with the New York one.
Yeah, accidentally switched the rosters.
Yeah. Samesy-whamesy.
Guys, you're both wrong.
Whoa.
One Madden game, they accidentally did switch the rosters of the New York Jets and New York Giants teams to the ire of New Yorkers. The high is that Mario was once going to be an NFL, but he wasn't tough enough. Obviously, Mario is tough AF.
Yeah, but I could super imagine those old football man, being like, "Oh, Mario could never make it. Let's see Mario run 3 yards up the gut in a cold night in Pittsburgh."
Like, all right, Madden, you missed the whole point of this. You mean old man. That's where the truth came from.
Griffin, that was a very good one. And I've got a segment, same segment I've got most of the time. It's another rousing game of Do They Eat Ass? This week, it's also Madden Edition.
Okay.
The way this game works is I pick 3 characters in video game history, or in this case, Madden cover history. And we decide whether it is through combative conflict or cooperative conversation, whether or not these respective people eat ass. First on the list, we're going in alphabetical order, is Brett Favre. Does Brett Favre eat ass?
Okay, now I am going to, as a non-sports watcher, I'm going to Google image each one of these people and judge a book by its cover.
Oh, I really thought I picked 3 that you'd know who they are.
No, I have no idea who that is.
From the Wranglers commercials, does that help?
Oh, wow. Now he's got like a big beard. Has he always had this weird beard?
No.
He was a scruffy guy when he played, but he didn't have like a big beard.
Okay. A hilarious news article headline that I'm not going to read.
Oh, what about him accidentally saying the anti-Semitic stuff on Cameo? Yeah.
Brett Favre duped by white supremacists into making anti-Semitic statement or something.
Yeah.
Very funny. Well, I don't know. That tells me a lot about him, actually. What do you guys think? I'll take y'all's leads on these.
I'm gonna say Brett Favre does eat ass. He was he got in trouble for like being kind of a creepy freak with the Jets. He like,
oh yeah, he sent his dick to that lady.
Sent a dick to the lady, like saying nasty shit, what I would do to you and all this. And I'm assuming some of it was probably eating ass.
Oh yeah, I'm seeing the texts right now on Google Image, and yeah, he does mention it.
Does he really?
No, I'm not finding these texts.
I mean, I think they're out there. Oh, no, yeah, just I agree Google for that Brett exact Favre reason. Brett Favre's a weird sex freak. Brett Favre probably eats ass. All right, next up, we got alleged murderer Ray Lewis.
Jesus.
I'm going to say Ray Lewis doesn't eat ass because he'd be like, Jesus doesn't want me to eat ass.
Yeah.
But he's okay with me murdering people.
Yeah, he's totally mistaken like what Jesus is all about.
Yeah. I feel like maybe he ate ass once, but ate the whole person's whole ass and they died and he'll never do it again.
he definitely ate someone's butt.
Yeah, like ate the whole
like musculature. Physically ate it though. It wasn't like a sex thing. He just ate somebody's butt.
For sure.
He did it once, but he did it wrong.
Yeah, he thought he was doing it right. Traumatized. He said he killed a woman. Yeah, and so he accidentally killed a lady, and now he doesn't do it anymore. That sounds right. And last but not least, the dumbest funny guy in the world, Rob Gronkowski. Does Gronk eat ass?
Fuck
it's
yeah.
It's funny that you thought I would know who that guy is. Let's see.
He's fucking famous.
Sounds like a hockey player.
Rob Gronkowski is very famous.
Yeah, everybody knows Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's Gronk, dude.
I mean, if he's Gronk, it's a hard yes.
Yeah, fair point.
Yeah, he fucking definitely eats ass. And I think he'll fucking tell you. Like, if you ask him, like, right now, yo, my man, you eat ass? He'd be like, shit. Here's a picture of me eating ass.
Yeah, no doubt. I actually thought that Gronk was too easy, but I was having a really hard time coming with three football players. I thought Griffin might know who they were.
Michael Vick?
Yeah, Michael Vick, Tom Brady, and Manning are the three football players I could name.
Yeah, I thought about Tom Brady or Peyton Manning and Michael. I think those all were the other three that I was thinking about. But I didn't want to talk about dogfighting, but then I just did anyway. And now here we are.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I hope Giselle gets her ass eaten. That's a fourth edition.
Yeah. Well, Tom Brady likes to kiss his kids on the mouth, so do with that information what you will.
It's just a whole ass eating family.
Yeah, Brady's are a weird family.
Well, like always, we end on a sour note.
We always end on a brown note. Dom, you've been fucking awesome. Where can people find more stuff from you? I'm sure they will.
You know, follow me on the interwebs at the Dom Johnson. Like we mentioned earlier, I'm on a Pack Theater House sketch team called Haymaker. We go up every third Wednesday of the month.
And in fact, if you're listening to this morning, Wednesday morning, when this is released, come to the Pack Theater.
Oh, yeah.
Tonight. At
8 o'clock, baby. It's going to be packed. It's going to be a hot show. I got a sketch in. Mm-hmm. It's going to be good times.
Get in line early because it's going to sell out.
Oh, standing room only, baby. That shit is happening.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it.
As for me, follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheGriffinDavis or GameBoysPod on Instagram. Guys, please send us a DM on Instagram and slide in and we'll read it on the show.
Or just slide into my DMs. I might eat your ass.
It's a mite.
Yeah, you know. Oh, you know, dare to dream. For me, you, as always, can find me on Twitter at MLSurfboard. You can find the videos I make at Wisecrack. You can also find them at Party World Wrestling on Facebook if you watch all the promos. And we have a highlight reel of the last show and some other cool stuff there. So go check that shit out. It's very cool. That's about it. We'll have reviews for you guys next week. If you wrote a new one this week, I'm sorry, but we'll hear about it soon. That means we're on the podcast, and we'll talk to you guys later. I am your host. My name is Lux. Your co-host is Griffin Davis. Your guest is Dom Johnson. Your editor is Haley Clement. Your international music is by Matthew Morton. Your art is by Brittany Metz. Goodbye, Internet. We love you very much.
Madden 2006. We'll